talked about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
Good morning, everyone. I trust you all slept well. Shall we go to work, sir?
Sure thing. Let's get with it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
That's when it just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and 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 over again. They're just not going to want that.
Think there's a deeper metaphor there?
Run through a motherfucker's face. Then you don't have to worry about them no more.
And now.
This is riveting. Are you enjoying this as much as I am?
Riveting, yeah. I was thinking that. In fact, I was thinking earlier I'd meant to tell you about that. But yeah, no. It is riveting and so cool.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 27th of April.
I have the 28th here. Yeah. Is it the 27th?
It's definitely the 27th.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm off a whole day then.
Yeah. What'd you do with it?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
So wait. So hold up. So the 29th, the 25th anniversary of the riot nonsense, that's Saturday? That's not tomorrow. If today's 27th, then that's Saturday, the 29th, right?
Yes.
Oh, I've got to recalibrate everything in my head then.
Okay. Oh, were you going to have a party?
This is very disturbing. You know, I have my riot anniversary party every year. But this was going to be a blowout because it was 25. Wow. I just remember, and it's burned into my mind, and I'll never stop thinking about seeing a guy just walking down the street with a TV in a shopping cart.
There yeah.
So many new TVs were got that week, remember?
It was the best.
Yeah.
In certain ways.
In certain ways. In other ways, not really
like
very good at all.
Like the cop was doing an interview and he was saying, I just hope our presence here helps people. And two guys were walking with a couch right behind him while he was saying he hopes his presence helps.
And the security video, the guy robbing the convenience store with the K-Rock t-shirt on. That guy, remember
that was
him
great.
On TV?
Sure.
Loved him. Yeah, that was good times to be on the radio in this town, I'll tell you. All right, so today's the 27th. That's what you're telling
right.
me. Okay, I got that. That's good. How y'all?
Well, not thrown off at all okay. by a missing day.
Yeah.
You going to be okay? I feel like this is going to kind of taint your whole...
It's let's leave my taint out of it,
okay.
but it is disorienting.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I don't like it.
Sure.
I don't like it at all when Kevin says a thing that's right and it doesn't sound wrong. You know what I mean. Hey, here's a story to get us
Come
started.
Come on.
Come on, Bean.
Here's a story to get us started before we get into this.
I wish.
Quitters never give up.
That's true, sir.
Kevin.
That's very true. Here's a story that I found interesting for personal reasons. Do you guys have any feelings at all as to what color your neighbors paint their houses?
No.
Any opinion at all?
Not a bit.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't matter to you, right?
No.
That's how I feel.
I'm going to repaint it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You are?
Yeah.
You're so going to repaint your neighbor?
If you don't like the color, you're right. going to get out there. One, okay.
Repaint it. No problem.
Because there are a lot of places where, A, there are bylaws, there are rules in the neighborhood where you are required to stay within a certain color palette.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other places where it's just kind of implied, where the neighbors, you know, will throw a big tantrum or something like that if you paint it a color that you don't. And I'm a guy, you know, I'm a guy who had a Barbie dream house I lived in for many, many years.
Bean's house was pink.
Super pink.
Yeah.
Really pink.
Yep.
And I liked it. It looked good. And I never got any complaints. But I was also in a place where I didn't have neighbors immediately near me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There were no humans.
A little more private.
To complain.
Right? And then I had a house that was painted the color of Tiffany blue, the color of the Tiffany boxes, which is, I think, a beautiful color, but not something that you see very often. No complaints on that. Well, here's a story that's in the news. About a woman who took her paint job to court because it was ruled that she had to repaint her house. I love her already, by the way. Her first name is Zipporah or Zipporah. You tell me how that one goes. Zipporah. Zipporah. Lyle Manwaring is her name.
Wow.
She has a townhouse in London in a very nice neighborhood in the Royal Borough of Kensington. And she doesn't live there. She uses the house for storage. So I think I feel like she's fairly wealthy.
Yeah, she's got money to burn.
And she had applied for a permit to tear that house down and rebuild a different house there. And apparently some of her neighbors filed complaints against her for being able to do that. For whatever reason, it doesn't say here. I don't know whether it was they didn't want to live through the construction or they were worried that she was going to build something that would not fit in with the aesthetics of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So she was not allowed to tear that house down. Maybe it was had some historical significance. Maybe she wasn't allowed to for that reason. You know how old some of those places can be in London. So what she did instead is what they're calling a spite paint job, which is she painted her house like a candy striper. It is vertical red and white stripes from top to bottom.
Wow.
And I love it. I think it looks fantastic. The neighbors, not so much. So she was ordered to repaint it, and she said, no, I am not going to. And she fought it, and she took it all the way up to London's highest court. And they have ruled this week that while her bold pattern may be aesthetically questionable, it is entirely lawful.
Why is the high court bothering with this case?
Yeah. I mean,
do they not have any other thing to do?
I think if you're...
We got a case!
I think you're probably required to address lawsuits, I would think, if you're the court. So they ruled, and maybe they thought it would be worthwhile because it was a reasonable question as to does anyone have the right to paint their house however they want. Maybe that's what they were ruling on. But anyway, they told her it was okay. It was entirely lawful, and she can do it. But I'm telling you, you see a picture of this street, and there's a white house over here, and then there's a brick house over there, and then there's this bold, huge candy striper, red and white stripes. I mean, it really stands out. But so Zipper Lyle Manwaring is allowed to get away with it.
All right.
I have tried with every house that we've bought and have thought about painting. I have tried to talk my wife into painting it black, and she won't do it.
How come?
I don't know. You don't see black houses very often.
Right.
I think it would look cool, good. I would like that.
Don't you think it would be so hot?
Well, I was going to live inside it.
Oh, you would. Okay.
It sounds racist.
No, it's not racist at all. It's just that's my favorite color, and I just think it would be so neat. But
black is your favorite color?
Favorite color?
It is, yeah. So anyway, that's in my future.
Just make stuff up like that.
Yeah.
I really do.
For sure.
Yeah.
Why? I love black.
Yeah, you know what's my favorite color? Black.
Right.
What will no one else say? Black? Okay, black. That's my favorite color.
It's look.
I think it happens.
Look how many things are black, and look how many people wear all black all the time. People like the color black.
Sure.
Okay, back to you.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeto, shall we?
It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Chip just wrote down you like black because it's black like your heart. That's what she wrote down. Okay. On the program today, we have Dr. Drew, like we do on Thursdays. We talk sports with Jim Rome. We have tickets for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Disneyland. We have a brand new internet roundup on the show today. Muddy jeans are a thing.
Ugh.
Right?
No.
Weird sexual turn-ons on the program today. And did I say internet roundup or no?
You did.
No.
I'll say it again.
Okay.
Wait. You did?
He definitely
did. Okay. Brand new internet roundup as well.
And it's the
28th. And it's the 27th still, yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:57.
Hey, we have good stuff coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show, right?
Yeah.
We've got Galaxy tickets, got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 tickets, Absinthe LA tickets coming up.
Right.
So stick around for that, won't you? What we don't have is Ralph Garman doing the Showbiz Beat. Apparently he's a little late this morning, so we're going to fill in with a couple of quick stories. And I wanted to ask you guys about this, because you probably saw the news over the weekend. It was big news that the house that Marilyn Monroe died in is up for sale right now.
Okay.
Any interest at all? Is that a plus, a minus, or a no game changer at all if you're looking at a house and it turns out that Marilyn Monroe died there?
No game changer at all. Unless they lowered the price because it happened.
Right.
Then
right.
Like, that's nice.
I would be a little worried about the public coming by, you know, looking at the house saying, oh, that's her house.
Huh. Yeah.
A lot of trouble.
She died at this place in Hollywood. Apparently has not been on the market for a long, long time. She died there in 1962, and it is on the market right now for $6.9 million.
Oh,
four bedrooms, three baths. It's in Brentwood. So, you know, I'm sure it's a real nice house and real nice neighborhood, but I just wonder, I mean, do you think some crazy Marilyn Monroe fan is going to want to buy that?
I think they'd want to, sure.
Right. Why do you want to?
No. I don't have any interest in it one way or another. But, I mean, there's just something, for whatever reason, she has survived in the public's imagination. You know, Marilyn Monroe is one of those people who, I mean, I think about this sometimes. There were lots of prettier women. There were lots of women who were better actresses. But for some reason, and maybe it's because she died so young and so tragically, for some reason, she seems to remain. I mean, you see... How many other actresses from the 1960s you see people walking around with T-shirts and tattoos and things like that, you know?
And wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you. Anyway, it's up for sale right now if you're a ghoul and you want it. Go.
All right. Well, all of these stars were born today.
Is that it? That was all we did?
I mean, why not? Do you want to?
No, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley. He's 66. Fallout Boy singer Patrick Stump is 33. Jenna Coleman is 31. And L.A. Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager is 23. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman-ish.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Imagine Dragons, by the way, is a band that would be worth going to StubHub Center to see by themselves.
They're amazing.
Yes. They're so good.
You know what they remind me of? You're going to think this is really dumb. Is the Blue Man Group. In that kind of energy and the banging on the drum and all and the running around the stage and stuff?
Huh.
No? Very energetic and active and rhythmic? No? No comparison at all?
Do they paint their faces red?
That's the same guys.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a show Saturday, May 20th. Imagine Dragons is one of the great bands at this year's K-Rock Weenie Roasted Fiesta 2017.
A lot of people come up to me and say, is this person really like that? Is Bean really like that? Do women really hate Bean? Does he really not go out? Is he really antisocial? Does he really love death? The answers to all of those is yes. Yes, he does. And yesterday, he was telling us about a new movie that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very upset that it's not on demand, that it's in a theater. Very upset.
Okay.
And he's not looked forward to a movie like this much for years.
Okay.
And the name of the movie is Obit.
Obit.
Bean, would you like to explain?
Well, I mean, I couldn't be more excited about this film. I've been literally, and I'm using that word correctly, mm-hmm. literally looking forward to it for years when I first heard that it was being shot. This is a movie about the great men and women who run the obituary department of the New York Times.
Your dream job, essentially.
My dream job, yes. And it's so fascinating on two levels. One is, and I don't know how much you want to hear about this, Kevin. But
not
one,
much, but go ahead.
One is the long-term job, which is the people who show up every day, and part of their job is to write obituaries for people who haven't died yet, to start doing the background biographical information so that it's ready to go in the paper with a few updates when that person finally does pass. And the other part of the job that's so exciting and so thrilling and that they do so well is that when somebody dies, they have an obituary in the paper the next day.
Right.
And what is required from the time that that person dies to the time that the paper comes out the next day, it's astonishing how much detail they're able to get, how much background, people they're able to get on the phone, historical and biographical information they're able to pull together and put it in context, particularly when it's a famous person. And I just admire the hell out of their writing and their ethic. Their work ethics, and they just is my favorite part of the paper. So I'm really excited they made a movie about it.
And it's a documentary, or
yes, it okay. is a documentary about the real people who work at the New York Times. That's right.
Wow,
that's what Bean wants to do with his life if he could. Perfect, mm-hmm. perfect scenario. He would write obits.
Okay,
it's a great. I mean, look, it's a very worthwhile journalistic endeavor. It's a very respectable occupation. I mean,
And you've been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks?
Years. I first heard. And by the way, so frustrating. Why is this not on 3,000 screens this weekend? So frustrating that it's only playing at stupid film festivals around the country. Mm. And as of now, there's no wide release date. So, like, for instance, it is playing in L.A. for a week at the New Art starting next Friday. That helps me not, right?
Right.
But if I want to see it in Seattle, for instance, it's playing at a film festival, not playing in New Orleans at all. So, yeah. I mean, I'm really going to have to, I may have to fly someplace just to see it.
That would be amazing.
I may have to take a road trip.
Here's a bit of the trailer.
There aren't too many of us doing this anymore. I mean, you could count them on one hand.
I got a few for you.
Ms. Miller, it's Bruce Weber at the New York Times. We would like to run an obituary about your husband.
People often ask, oh, you're an obit writer. Isn't it depressing?
I was leaning away from doing it. Yeah, now I'm leaning toward doing it.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's kind of a tacit commentary on this old but still prevalent Victorian sensibility that obits have to be demure, respectful, lachrymous, God knows, not funny.
Hello there.
It's counterintuitive, ironic even, but obits have next to nothing to do with death, and in fact, absolutely everything to do with the life.
If you have the chance that you can't repeat, it's a once-only chance to make the dead live again.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Are they making the dead live again?
Well, I mean, they are in that they're giving, they're reminding you why this person's life mattered. And that's one of the things that's so fascinating about the obituary column in the New York Times is somebody, and most of the people that are, that die that are in the obituaries, I've never heard of. All right. Most people have never heard of because they've led quiet, private lives out of the public eye. But then you read about them and you see that everybody
You don't read about them.
But you do.
But and I'm saying everyone else.
But you see that everybody has a story and everybody mattered and everybody accomplished something. And I think that's uplifting and rewarding.
And that's what you're about. It's uplifting.
That is what I'm about. I'm about how can I make people feel good.
Right.
That's what I'm about. And it's just, it's a fascinating story. And I said, fascinating. And I just have so much respect for these men and women that do this work. Come see the movie with me, you guys. Let's all go. Let's make it a field trip.
We'll meet you there.
Now, Kevin, I've heard you there.
I've
heard you say in the past, and tell me if I'm making this up, that the right person can make any story interesting. Things that you never thought you would be interested in, whether it's a real movie or a made-up movie or a documentary.
Sure.
You are sometimes amazed by how good they can be if the storytelling is good enough.
Right.
Isn't that possible? That's the case with this obituary movie?
I don't know. It's your enthusiasm for obituaries that really is kind of... It kind of puts me off. It's a little weird.
See, I was with you until Bean said everybody has a story and reading about these people and it brings them to life. People that you would never even hear about. That's kind of delightful,
Bean,
Kevin.
Loves the death part.
It's not the death part.
See, I think Bean would be bad at this because he would go, here's how he died. Isn't that ironic?
All of that in great detail. Yep. Also, he was a plumber.
Maybe I wouldn't be so good at that job. That's a good point. I don't know. I just think it's going to be a great movie, and I hope that it's going to be a great movie.
Oh, me too.
It's got a good pedigree, but...
I can't wait. It comes out the same day as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Well, that's going to be close.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Then I think your choice is made. Oh, bet. Hey, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, our producer on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
Dave, for years now, has been putting together the best viral videos of the week in a feature that we call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Do you ever stop to think that there was a time not that long ago that we had no internet?
No.
Isn't it? Unbelievable.
But it hasn't been that long, I guess.
It hasn't been that long. Isn't it unbelievable how much the internet as an invention has changed the world and changed our day-to-day lives?
Yeah, I don't like thinking about that time.
Those were the dark days, weren't they, Dave?
Like, I had to read and
Right, that sucks.
I had a word processor. Remember those? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Bean and I, when we started, we would get the newspapers out in front and just come in and open it up and go, what should we talk about?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it showed.
By the way, you there was no such thing as Google, kids. I know it's hard to believe. But if you wanted to find out information, you had to, like, go to a library. I mean, I'm not even lying. Or you had to call people on the phone to find out stuff.
Oh, the library.
It's astonishing. It's anyway, Dave does a great job putting this together, and this is a nice batch of videos, including
Dave didn't do a thing on this when you sent all of them, B.
Oh, well, not true.
It's nice that you're giving him
not
credit.
Not true at all, buddy.
Dave is my boy.
He did
you know
help
that.
This one.
And he, there's a video, for instance, up there of a girl who's just twerking on the side of the road, and it causes a guy on a motorcycle to run into the back of a car.
Oh,
that's
man.
Pretty good.
That looks brutal.
There's it nothing does. Better than seeing a limp body on the floor.
Oh, Dave.
Wow.
This week you would say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
John Boyega pranking Star Wars fans by photobombing them at a Star Wars celebration is super fun. So there's a bunch of good videos. I love the Deshaun Watson video, too. He's a Clemson quarterback who is out interviewing people on the street about who should be drafted in the NFL draft, including him, because he's expected to go high, too. And no one has any idea they're actually talking to him. And he's very funny in that video. So check these out. And here's a couple more we want to spotlight. I'm going to tell you that 10 years ago, 2007 was early in the years for viral videos, right? It was pretty near the beginning of when stuff started really breaking out big.
Yep.
That was the year, 2007 was the year of Leave Britney Alone, you guys.
Oh, wow, yeah.
2007 was The Landlord with Will Ferrell. Remember that?
Oh, the beginning of Funny or Die, yeah.
The beginning of Funny or Die. 2007, you guys, was Miss South Carolina Teen USA.
Oh.
The prison inmates dancing the Thriller dance was 10 years ago this year already. Don't Tase Me, Bro was 10 years ago already. I mean, that's a golden year, 2007.
Yeah.
And we also celebrate this year as the 10-year anniversary of the time that we all met and fell in love with the great Tay Zonde. Here he is with a new version of his classic song, Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain.
You still got it, right?
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
He's come a long way. That sounds great.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why was that such a big viral thing?
I don't know.
It's not that great.
Right.
Is it
not
just
that funny?
I think because that voice that came out of that kid.
That's what I was going to ask. For sure. If that's the only reason. Not that great a song.
Oh, how dare you? That's a great song.
That's
come
hurtful,
on now.
Kevin.
And I kind of feel like he didn't really follow it up with much. I mean, there's, you know.
He didn't have to, Bean.
Oh,
that's
is that what it is?
Legacy.
It's okay to be a one-hit wonder if you're hitting
and,
that good.
By the way, still looks exactly the same.
Yeah, well, he does.
Yeah. Chocolate rain don't crack.
Chocolate rain. Bill Nye, who I love, by the way.
That's so funny.
He is so great. He has a new TV show called, I think it's on Netflix, called Bill Nye Saves the World that's premiering this week. And he decided
to do... Song.
He decided to do, as a promotional item, he decided to answer science questions on Twitter so people could write in with their questions for Bill Nye. And, of course, he's super smart on a lot of issues. And he just, 1, 2, 3, 4, just runs right by him. Listen to this.
I have a doubt related to evolution theory. If we evolved from monkeys, then why are there still monkeys? That's brilliant. You're the first guy to ever wonder this. We did not descend from monkeys. Mint Chocolate Chip asks, what is the fourth dimension? Is it smell? Fourth dimension is time. This is not rocket surgery. Fourth dimension is time. X, Y, Z, time. Lil Poundcake asks, can artificial intelligence take over the Earth? Yes. Yes. What do you think? No, people make artificial intelligence. Are we going to make a machine that produces electricity in a way that we can't control, that takes over for us? Really? Who's going to build that machine? How safe is acupuncture? I know people believe in acupuncture. There's no value to it. Final question. Hey, Bill, are you free for dinner? Often.
Often. All right, first
Thanks
of all.
Thanks for the question. Carry on.
He's dead wrong about acupuncture, right?
Second of all, Bill Nye's a dick.
I was going to say, wow, he's coming off like a real a-hole.
Well, I think he's over some of these questions that get asked all the time. He feels like people should have a basic understanding of science is why he's
We're
upset.
We're not all nerds,
people.
Bill.
This is a funny segment from Wired. They do this with a bunch of other people. Like they did Ken Jeong answers medical questions on Twitter. Yeah. And Gordon Ramsay answers cooking questions. And
Were they angry?
They're exactly the same and they're all funny.
Huh.
So Don't be dumb. I think that's what they're saying.
That's what Bill Nye's saying, for sure. Yeah.
All of them. Yeah.
And finally, on this week's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, this is very educational and very clever and a lot of fun to watch because the beautiful actress Salma Hayek is the host of this video.
All right.
And
I learned so much.
She is teaching us about Mexican slang. Like, there are some things that if you translate them literally, they mean a very different thing than how they're actually used if you're speaking Spanish, okay? So Salma Hayek teaching us Mexican slang. Please enjoy it.
Que pedo. Que pedo literally means what a fart. But we use it to say, what's up? Que pedo. Next one. Aguas. Aguas literally means water, but it means be careful. Like something's about to hit you. Aguas. No mames. This is really naughty. The literal words mean don't suck. Hombres malos. Okay, this one is literary. It means bad man. And that's what it means, bad man. This is ando bien pedo, which is I am very fart. Again, the fart. And it means I'm drunk. ¿Qué estás haciendo, güey? What are you doing, ox? This is like the F word. What it really means literally is f- your wall. Never heard it until lately.
If Salma Hayek had been my Spanish teacher, I would now know how to speak Spanish.
I didn't realize she was talking in this video.
She might be the most beautiful human ever.
She certainly hasn't aged at all, has
she? At all.
You could see Salma and all the rest of the videos at KROQ.com or KevinDeBean.com right now. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
What is this push?
Gentlemen,
thank you.
Standing,
thank you. That is a fire on the launch pad, man.
In my defense, I've never said that before. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ.
Don't shake. When do you just lay down?
Don't shake your
when
head.
When do you
no
just realm? Lay down?
It's Kevin Abicho. It's 6:53.
Quitters never give up.
Right. That's the right. Important thing to remember.
That's
right there.
My motto,
as a great man once said. Quitters never give up.
Is something going on that we should know about? Are you bleeding out? Is there a thing? Is there a problem?
Just
humor. Do we need to call someone?
Just another day.
Just
me.
Paradise.
Another day.
Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program later on today because it's Thursday, and we talk sports with our friend Jim Rome as well. First, though, isn't that Ralph Garman I see with the showbiz beat?
Sure is. Sorry, it's hard to worry about show business when we're going to lose Lava Burst, right? Everybody upset about the lava burst?
Lava burst? I'm sorry, I don't have that.
Is that a gum?
My God.
Is it a...
It should be.
What is it?
High C orange lava burst?
Oh, it's a drink?
It's more than a drink.
Okay.
It's a way of life.
Okay.
McDonald's has announced they're dropping High C orange lava burst.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
And they're going to replace it with Sprite Tropic Berry. Mm. If you can call that a replacement. People are up in arms, including myself. You know why? Because it's not just a drink. Some people, and you can count this journalist among them.
What journalist?
Swear by High C Orange Lava Burst as a hangover cure.
Oh.
Yeah. You see the drive-thrus lined up for miles.
All of a sudden I care.
On a Sunday morning, people lined up to get their High C Lava Burst with their McMuffins.
Interesting.
Okay. Now it's going to be gone. Now what do we do? Don't say drink less. Shut up. Who am I talking to? I don't know. I see things sometimes. Anyway, if you're like me and you love the lava burst, I don't know what we can do. But I'm going to start some sort of support group.
Do they say why they're making the change?
They do not. I think High C is owned by the Coca-Cola Corporation, just like Sprite is. I can't imagine it's because of any business decision, but I can't imagine it's any better or worse for you. Sprite with fruit juice.
Right.
Yeah.
Ralph, I just found a syrup supply company online. I can get you 2.5 gallons of it, and then you just add the rest. You can have it at home.
Add the rest of what?
I don't know the secret. It gives you it right here.
Can I get an industrial drum of it?
I believe you can.
All right, give me a drum.
Okay.
And an IV.
Just trying
stacked.
To help, yeah.
Movie news. M. Night Shyamalan has announced he is going to do a sequel to two of his movies at the same time. Degree of difficulty? 9. He's going to take Split, his most recent hit with James McAvoy as the kidnapper with multiple personalities.
Right.
And he's going to take Unbreakable, which you may remember starred Bruce Willis as a security guard who discovers he develops superpowers
mm-hmm.
in a train wreck. And Samuel L. Jackson, as Mr. Glass, becomes his arch nemesis.
Right.
He's going to take those two stories and combine them into one film.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Come now,
there
on!
There was some overlap in the Split movie with Unbreakable, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see Split.
No, I think that was the thing. Is they,
with Moore, she's our expert on Split.
Took place in the same universe
or
something,
right? Yeah, same universe, so it makes sense.
How do we know? How do we know it's the same universe? Did Bruce Willis walk by and go, hey! And just like...
Yeah, I don't want to give it away. It's old enough. Yeah, he shows up at the end of Split.
Bruce Willis does?
Yeah.
Does he see dead people?
All the dead people.
Well, there you go. So now there's going to be a sequel involving all that stuff.
All
right. There you go. M. Night Shyamalan won't be finished until he tears down all of his good films.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Is he, in your mind, because of the success of Split, is he back now? Is he no longer...
He never went away! That's what was dumbfounding to me.
But I mean, in terms of, is he legitimate now, a force in Hollywood again, because he had that one hit? Do we have to take him seriously again?
No.
Okay.
His batting average is pretty bad.
It's pretty awful. It's terrible. Yeah.
Too many misses in a row for you to welcome him back yet. Okay, gotcha.
Well, who has to welcome him? My point is, he never stopped being able to make whatever he wanted.
Right, but I think Bean's saying, you know, once Sixth Sense came out, everybody was like, wow, this guy's amazing.
Well, that's gone. He's burned that reputation to the ground. So this is just, can he release a film that's successful again?
Okay.
And so he got lucky with Split, but, you know, what are the odds he's going to get another two or three like that in a row?
Right.
I don't know. It remains to be seen. And while we're talking movies, this actually sounds intriguing to me. Ewan McGregor is reportedly in talks with Walt Disney to do a live-action movie called Christopher Robin, where he will play Pooh's owner, all grown up now, who has lost all sense of imagination, and his little friend Pooh comes back to help him gain his sense of wonder again. Pooh comes back, Christopher Robin's all grown up!
I don't mind that at all.
Sounds like a clever idea.
Yeah.
Christopher Robin's all... then Pooh comes, oh, bother! And then they're buddies again! Where's your sense of wonder, everyone?
I feel like you're too excited about it.
I like it.
Why? Pooh was my man when I was a kid. Pooh was like my guy. I was big into Pooh.
I'm going to need that.
I was all about the Pooh when I was a kid. I used to sleep with a little stuffed Pooh bear.
Aww.
He was my man. Yeah, then I grew up being and stopped sleeping with stuffed animals, though.
Oh, so, that's weird.
Yeah. And finally, Paul Verhoeven. One of the great directors of all time, right? Don't forget, the man gave us Showgirls. He is making a new movie about lesbian nuns. Well, I'm sure it'll be tasteful, given his track record. It is based on the story of Sister Benedetta Carlini. You remember Sister Benedetta?
I don't.
She was the abbess of the convent of the Mother of God in the early 1600s, Kevin.
She's a bitch.
No, she's not.
Oh, that's
but
not
she
what
did
we're
claim
saying?
To have a special relationship with Jesus, that she was in contact with Jesus on the reg. And there was another sister, Sister Carlini, that is her. There was another sister who helped her develop her visions and her contacts with Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And apparently that relationship evolved into a romantic affair.
Her and Jesus?
No, the other nun.
Oh.
And then church authorities got involved to investigate, and they said the visions of her meeting Jesus were actually a scam to cover up her lesbian relationship. Oh, my goodness. Right?
You know a lot about being a lesbo.
Thank you. Well, I did my research. So that'll be in theaters soon.
The Salute to Tuna.
If it's cast correctly, I think that could be a great film.
What's wrong with you?
Got some time?
I know my taco's delicious.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ace Frehley. You want the best? You got the best, but he's not in the band anymore. He's 66 years old today. A lot of bad blood between Ace and the rest of the boys.
Yeah.
Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy's 33. Actress Jenna Coleman's 31. Corey Seager, Sport Shop. That's right. He's a Sport Shop. the shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks to everybody who bought tickets yesterday as street team members for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017. If there are any left, you can buy them as a member of the general public if you're not a street team member tomorrow at noon. Just go to AXS.com to buy your tickets to see Lord and Incubus, Imagine Dragons, and Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, Dream Car, and all the rest. Details at KRock.com.
Remember when distressed jeans were a thing and then they started ripping them? And then they would sell them for a lot more?
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, Kevin, let me stop you right there. All right. I have an ongoing struggle with my wife. And I know I shouldn't care what anyone wears because look at me.
Right.
She loves those jeans that are ripped. That's mm-hmm. what she buys. She wears them all the time.
A lot of people do.
And they're so ripped that they look like they should be thrown away so that you can buy pants that aren't ripped. That's the style, apparently. That's the thing that people like. And I don't get it.
Bean is turning into you, kids, get off my lawn.
No, but I'm serious. If I had a pair of jeans that were so torn up like these are, I would say, well, it's time to throw those away and get a pair that's right.
Well, this is new now. Mm-hmm. There's another type of jean that they're selling at Nordstrom,
mm-hmm.
and they are muddy jeans. Muddy.
That's not mud.
They're jeans with mud. And you know how much they cost for a pair of jeans? $425.
Oh, no.
Yes, because of the mud.
No.
There's mud.
No.
But there's mud.
No.
No.
Mud.
What's the... Why? Who? How? What?
That's a great question, first of all.
Let's find out more about this because we must be misinterpreting or misreading or misunderstanding this story. We asked Dave, who can we get on the line? And I guess the designer of the mud jeans is who we're talking to. Claude St. Cloud joins us on K-Rock right now. Mr. St. Cloud, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
We're doing fine, but frankly...
It's so funny already for you. They're having laughter.
I just wasn't expecting your accent, but thank you.
Oh, I see. So you're racist as well.
No, not racist at all. Just... forgive me, sir. We're a little bit confused. This article can't be correct that you're selling jeans that look muddy for $425 at Nordstrom.
What is not having correct about it?
Well, first of all, it's ridiculously expensive for a pair of jeans in the best condition. But second of all...
Let me walk you through a little history about the jeans.
Okay. All right.
Do you remember when the jeans are all stiff and hard to walk in and, oh, I can't wait to wash these so much?
Sure, right.
Then eventually came the pre-washed jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You put on, oh, I love it so much. Everybody's like, what? You buy jeans that are already washed? Are you crazy? Then you put stones in the wash. We had stone-washed jeans.
That's right, yeah.
Then everybody say, oh, I wish I had tears and rips in jeans. Then we start selling jeans, tears, and rips.
And they're very popular, correct.
Yeah, very popular.
Right.
Now is the next step. You look like you're working so hard, and you're not really, but you have the look of it. And now everybody will buy these kind of jeans.
But who wants to walk around with mud all over their pants?
Have you been to Coachella lately?
All right.
Lots of fans sold for those people.
Claude, it's not really mud, though, is it?
No.
What is it?
What is it?
Regular mud will just wash right out.
Right.
So you have to put special mud that is manufactured.
Okay.
That they put on the jeans.
Right.
And that way they're staying looking like you're working so hard, but okay. You're really just very rich.
How many people are trying to impress everyone that they work really hard?
I've heard your show. So many people are.
Point taken.
That sometimes your life is just easy, and you can't help but try to pretend you're working really hard.
Okay.
And why those people now can wear these jeans look like working men. Oh, I am so rough and tough. Don't you want to have sex with me in the bathroom of a bus station?
Why are they so expensive, Claude?
Well, the special ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fake mud.
Fake mud, right, okay.
It takes so much to make that. It's a very difficult process. I have to bear down when I make the mud.
This is not.
Come on.
Blood.
This is how I make the mud. I have no.
Please, no. Please, no.
What? It's just the container is heavy. It's hard to pick up. That's all. Where's your mind, you creepy people with the poopies?
Talk Sports with Jim Rome coming up just after 8. By the way, he had Ryan Getzlaff on the show this week.
Yep.
And now is concerned that he may have cursed him, and that's why the Ducks lost last night.
So I think he actually tweeted that after Getzlaff scored.
Oh, do you think
so? I think he was pretty stoked.
Wasn't for the ending. Oh, okay, yeah. So whatever good happened for the Ducks last night, Jim's taking credit for that.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's a good spin. I like that. Anyway, Mr. Rome will be joining us. He does every Thursday just after 8 a.m. coming up on K-Rock, so that should be a lot of fun. Yesterday,
hold one second, Bean. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe it's a good time for me to mention that parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
That's a great tip, Kevin. I'm glad you thought of that. Because
this program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
This might not be the kind of conversation that you want a five-year-old to hear, I guess.
The following program contains mature content. Viewer discretion is advised.
Yes, I think we've established that.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
Okay, can we move on now with the following topic?
The following hot presentation is for mature audiences only.
Yeah.
Okay, now?
I mean, I just want to make sure that people get the message.
Okay. We do run into a lot of people who, for inexplicable reasons...
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
For some reason, they let their kids listen to the show. And as you always point out, Kevin, terrible parenting.
Right.
Right.
I ran into a girl in the parking lot yesterday when I was leaving.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And she said, yeah, let my 9-year-old and 5-year-old listen. And I said, not tomorrow morning at 7:20.
Okay.
You sure don't.
All right. Are we done with the warnings? Can I go on now?
Yes.
The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
Okay. Oh, that's disturbing.
Wow. Okay. Well, and that one's necessary because we came on the air yesterday.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
All right, go now.
No, you go.
No, seriously.
We're about to discuss an issue that may not be suitable for children. In fact, it probably is not. And I want to give you an opportunity to turn down the volume.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
Come on.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line. If you are not, hang up now.
People that hang up on the Kevin and Bean show.
All right, what's the topic? Melissophobia.
A warning, some of what you're about to see and hear is explicit.
This program contains material that originally aired at a later hour. Parental discretion advised.
All right. We're good.
Okay.
The following show features stunts performed by professionals or under the supervision of professionals. Accordingly, MTV and the producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show.
All right. Are we going to have the conversation?
Warning. The following show features stunts performed either by professionals or under the supervision of professionals. Accordingly, MTV and the producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show. We're about to discuss an issue that may not be suitable for children. In fact, it probably is not. And I want to give you an opportunity to turn down the volume.
Oh, did we play that one already?
All right. Go ahead now.
This program contains graphic images which may be disturbing to sensitive viewers. The people profiled all survived. Discretion is advised.
All right, we're done. Now, introduce
the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Okay. All right. Do we feel like we've covered it now?
I feel like it's covered, yeah.
The following program contains dialogue of a sexual nature. If you have kids or you are offended when other people use the words tits, f***er, blowj*** or asshore, proceed with caution. The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
All right, that's the last one, because here we go.
Parental discretion is advised.
You're a child.
All right, go ahead.
The topic
if you
is...
have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent.
All right.
A really bad parent.
That's what we're saying.
You are seriously... up.
Right?
You with your illegitimate kids and your bad judgment and whatnot.
Right?
Let me go on. Let me just do the thing here, okay? Because
right.
I feel...
Now, I have to warn you, some of this footage that you're about to see is clearly inappropriate for young viewers.
All right, we got it, Dr.
Please ask your children to leave the room. And I'm serious. You really don't want your kids watching this. And it's not going to be fun for you to see it.
Okay, that's what we're saying.
Right.
We've got that message across to everybody now. The topic is...
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
Now, if we have any children, please step out. Yeah. This is a parental guidance moment.
Okay.
The following conversation may contain dialogue of a sexual nature, violence, or bestiality. It may also include content unsuitable for any human being, including talk of a dirty Sanchez, a hot Carl, a Cleveland steamer, or a donkey punch. Parental discretion is advised.
By the way, that one's true.
I don't want to do the topic anymore.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yesterday,
may also contain details of an inverted sloppy deck chair, couch bombing, the chocolate pizza, the bullwinkle, the Arabian goggles. Parental discretion is advised.
I
don't want to have anything to do with any of those.
Is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
I think we're done.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
I think we've gotten the warning out. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Take your hands away from the controls, Kevin. Let's get into the topic. Melissophilia.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Melissophilia is the topic. We brought this
up.
We brought this up yesterday morning when we came on the air. I saw an article.
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
God.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Right. Your discretion is advised.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
We wanted to give you a heads up on this next story. You might want to go ahead and send the children in the next room.
Okay. Melissophilia is the word that we learned yesterday.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
You guys, I have to pee so bad.
And when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show...
No, we have time.
We have time.
It's 7:29,
right,
Kevin.
We have time. You can just tell the story. It's pretty quick.
I'm not going to start because you're going to hit another button.
No. It's pretty quick.
Will you promise you won't hit another warning? Will you let me get it? Will you let me do the thing?
Yes.
Okay. Melissophilia.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
In my defense, that was Chip, so I promised.
We'll be right back.
No, you have to set it up. All right. All right, go ahead, B.
All right, you promise? You're going to be cool?
A warning, some of what you're about to see hear is explicit.
Okay, now I'm done.
I'm done.
People are irate.
I know.
Online and on the phones, irate.
And on this show, by the way. Hey,
for some reason that just eggs me on. Sorry.
Ahead of the Lumineers, here's the topic that we're going to ask you to call in on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. We brought this up at the start of yesterday's show. It's called Melissophilia, and this is people who are sexually aroused by bees. Now, I won't get into the details of what they do, but it involves letting bees sting their private parts because that enhances their sexual excitement.
That's not good.
I mean... It's weird. It's unusual. It's got to be a very, very tiny percentage of people who are turned on by this. But it kind of got us thinking about the topic of, look, you don't get to control what turns you on. And there are a lot of things that I look at and go, there's nothing sexual about that at all. You know, maybe it's stuffed animals, whatever it is. But other people, they go crazy for it. We want to find out what's the weird thing that turns you on, okay?
Yeah.
The what's non-sexual for other people, but you find it hot.
Yeah, like a guy that texts you back. Super hot.
That's just science fiction, though, Allie. That never happens.
No, but that's why it's so rare that when it happens, like, ooh, yeah.
So that's what right we're looking there. For is what's the non-sexual thing that turns you on? We want to hear about that at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after the Lumineers here on K-Rock.
By the way, I apologize to the listener who tweeted us at Kevin Bean that he would have appreciated a little heads up, a little warning that this topic was going to be explicit. And I apologize. That's on us that we forgot to warn you. Maybe this one isn't for kids. But we're talking about weird sexual turn-ons. Look, it may not, it may seem weird to most people. Doesn't seem weird to you. You can't help it. You just get turned on by something that other people don't find sexy. What's that about? We started talking about B-sex, and now we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
B-sex, maybe for people just tuning in, you're not actually having sex with a bee.
No, you're not. Okay, but you are sexually aroused by bees. And that, I mean, that has to be a tiny, tiny percentage of people, I would think, right? Let's try T in Los Angeles to get us going. She's on line two, and she's up first. We're looking for the weird things that only turn you on and no one else you know.
Hey, T.
Hi. Yeah, it's historical buildings, like any old building. Like, I have to have sex in it. Like, it has to.
Any old building.
Yeah, as long as it's historical, like, it has some kind of meaning. And there's many places in the
So it has to be an important.
I've already done this.
It has to be a former important building that is now vacant. Or not vacant.
Necessarily has to be vacant.
All right.
But, like, I have done, you know, a vacant building.
So what do you think that's about, T? Do you have any idea where that came from?
I don't know. I know I like history a lot, and it's a subject that's really.
So you're driving down the road with your significant other, and you drive by the LACMA or something, and you just see that building, and you're like, oh, man, we got to go in there and do it.
Oh, yeah.
What's your phone number?
Thanks for the call, T. Appreciate that. Let's try Anthony Inglewood, line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Anthony.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
And you know what? I've only discovered this recently is glasses.
Glasses.
Oh, now that's much more common than say B-sex, right? A lot of people are turned on by girls in glasses.
You mean like the librarian look kind of thing?
Yeah, but then there was that one time where you guys did an interview. I forgot who it was, and then you guys went live on Facebook or whatever, and then Allie McKay was wearing glasses, and oh my God, hello.
Hey, Anthony. Guess what? I'm wearing them right now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, let's go to an abandoned building with tea.
Yes,
thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Robert in West Covina.
Oh my God, Robert!
What's this about,
Robert?
Robert, hi.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What do you like, Robert?
I like when my girlfriend farts.
Okay,
like, that really just gets me going.
Let's not bring Chuck Berry into this. And I have no follow-up questions, Your Honor. The prosecution rests. Let's try Anthony, Los Angeles.
That was awesome.
Agreed. Okay, what do you have?
Braces.
Braces?
Like on the teeth, not on a leg. Right?
Yes.
Okay. That's a legitimate question, by the way. There's lots of kinds of braces.
Interesting.
So let me ask you this, Anthony. Is it tough to find women of age wearing braces?
But
you do, right?
I'm sorry?
But you do, right?
Find women of age.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay.
Good enough. Thank you for the call.
I have no follow-ups.
Let's try Phoebe and Aaron. She's up next, line 8. We're talking about weird things that turn you on. They're not common, but for whatever reason, it's something that you find sexy. Other people don't. What's that about? Phoebe, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I had an ex, and he used to like it when I sneezed and meowed during sex.
Sneezed and meowed. Did it have to be one after the other?
Well, he would just tell me to do it, like, during it. He's like, meow, and since I would have to, like, make a meow noise or sneeze, but it would be, like, a really kind of high-pitched, like, squeaky kind of a sneeze. And, like, for some reason, that would get him off.
Really?
So you had to fake that sneeze because you didn't have to sneeze at the time,
no.
Right?
No. Yeah, I just had to, like, totally fake it. Like, just, like, it was, like, just this really like high-pitched squeaky sneeze. I don't even know how it started, and I don't even know how the meow thing started.
What would this do to him?
Sorry.
Ooh. Like, we would just be in the middle of stuff, and then he would just be like, you know, instead of me moaning or something, I would like moan and make, you know, the
connecting
noises.
And he would say, no, sneeze.
Like, he'd like sneeze or meow, and then also like I would have to wear things for him too, so.
All right.
Well, good times. Our listeners run the gamut, don't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 opens a week from Friday. You can see it this weekend at the AMC in Downtown Disney. We got your tickets next half hour, along with a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. Plus, we'll catch up with our old friend Jim Rome on sports. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Speaking of Disneyland, imagine you're going through the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, which is one of everybody's favorites there at the park. You're cruising along, and you love the little animatronic figures. Ah, there's a pirate. Ah, that guy's being dunked in the well. Look at that dog carrying that key. This is all so charming. You know, they've updated it recently. I don't know, years back, they started. They injected Captain Jack Sparrow into the ride as well. So you get to see the figure from your favorite movie franchise also in the ride, which seems appropriate.
Right.
But I don't think anybody expected what happened last night at the park as they were going by in their little boats. When there, standing in front of them, waving his sword and talking directly to you, was Captain Jack Sparrow himself.
Yeah!
Really? As Johnny Depp joined the attraction, as he went inside the ride.
That's awesome.
And started chatting with people as they went by in their boats. As Captain Sparrow. How cool would that have been?
That's pretty awesome.
That's mind-blowing.
How's that for your Disneyland experience? As you can imagine, everybody whipped out their phones, so there's tons of video of this on the internet right now. But here's a little audio of what some people experienced last night at Disneyland.
Johnny Depp. Oh, my God.
I would like to come and be your Johnny Depp. Everyone jump out into the water. Don't do that. I'll just jump in your boat. Hello.
Oh, my God, we love you.
What are your names?
He yelled at one boat. What are your names? All of you. What are your names? And everybody's just yelling out names. That was pretty funny.
Now, what's the tie-in here? Why was he doing it?
What's the tie with Johnny Depp and the Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, obviously, but why now? I mean, they don't have another movie coming out right now.
On the 26th of May.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, he's promoting a new film. Gotcha.
You got any more of those warnings you can play? Any more of those you can play?
I mean, yeah.
The following program contains mature content. There you go. Viewer discretion is advised.
Al Pacino's birthday was yesterday. Oh, Al. 77 years old. He's just the best. He's not the guy sitting there eating tapioca pudding at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, watching Judge Judy.
Playing bingo.
He's out. He's out on romantic walks with his 38-year-old nubile girlfriend, Lucila Sola. As they were walking along the beach yesterday, photos are on the internet today of him walking along on the beach, cavorting in the surf, and grabbing her hooters.
All right.
Just grabbing a handful. That's the way to celebrate your 77th birthday, right?
Right there in public on the beach.
Yeah. I don't think he has any F's left to give.
Right.
That Al Pacino at 77. I don't think he really cares. The Tick is coming back tomorrow night on Amazon. The Tick returns. You may remember the beloved original series in the early 2000s with Patrick Warburton as the star of the show, or maybe you're a fan of the comic book. But if you're not familiar, I think you're going to enjoy yourself. Peter Serafinowicz becomes the Tick this time around. He's still teamed up with Arthur, and they're still defending the city. And by all accounts, I saw the pilot. Did you see the pilot?
I haven't yet. I'm going to try it.
Pretty, pretty good.
I'm a little bit nervous because I have so much affection for Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, his version will definitely take a while to surpass, but I think this one is going to be just as good. We'll have to wait and see. Stevie Nicks puts in a guest appearance on Lana Del Rey's new album. She's featured on one track, which is pretty interesting because Stevie, you know, for a long time has been accused of being a witch, and Lana herself has said she is a witch. So it's like they're around a cauldron,
obviously,
just making spooky frog eye music. or whatever witches
do. It's my favorite
kind. You know, with eyes of newts and tails of lizards and stuff. They're making a potion. Those witches. Narnia is back. The return of the Narnia franchise. First series, of course, was made up of three films. Kevin, the first film, of course, was...
The Absence of Narnia?
Nope. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right.
Then Prince Caspian. And then The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Treader. Now, Narnia, the Silver Chair. The fourth in the franchise. Oh, is the making its chair. Way.
Why are all their titles so terrible?
What's terrible about them?
They're just... I mean, I guess they make sense if you read the books, I guess. The Silver Chair, does it? That's not a name that makes me want to go, oh, I need to see that movie.
The Goblet of Fire, does that make you want to go see a movie?
Yes.
But The Silver Chair doesn't?
I don't know. It just seems like a weird combination of words in those titles. Yeah.
I don't think it's like a folding chair. Being, I think it's a magical chair.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Quit your jibber-jabber.
All right. Thank you, Mr. T.
He's got a lot of specific opinions today. And this is, of course, about... traveling to Narnia. This isn't the kids, by the way. It's their cousin, Eustace. Eustace Scrub, who's got to go to Narnia to save the kidnapped child of, Kevin?
King Harry.
Yeah, Prince Caspian, of course. So, Joe Johnston, the director of Captain America, the First Avenger, and also The Rocketeer, will be at the helm for the film. No word on casting yet, but a lot of Narnia fans are very excited and very happy. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are once again taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose for Hollywood Babylon. It's been weeks since we've been able to do a show together. We're looking forward to talking about all things show business, and Kevin is going to get nice and baked, and I'm going to have a cocktail or two.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood, and then you got all the details there, and you can get your tickets for tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Hollywood Babylon. Come join
us. And my answer is... No.
Today's celebrity
viewer discretion advised.
Right?
Yep.
For reals.
For reals.
Quitters never give up.
Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley, 66 years old today as we look at the celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy is 33. Jenna Coleman, one of my favorite companions to the doctor, is 31. And Corey Seager, who is the L.A. Dodgers shortstop, he's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:04.
What's better than Thursday mornings at this time on The Kevin and Bean Show when our good friend, the legendary Jim Rome, joins us? You can hear him doing 3 full hours of sports talk at jimrome.com from 9 till noon. And, of course, the podcast is always available at jimrome.com, play.it, or iTunes. It's Jim Rome's Daily Jungle. How are you, Mr. Rome?
Sir! The entire band is back together. Bean is back.
How about that?
Bean, nice job. Way to go, Bean. Good thanks for showing up.
Good to... I was
hey,
on vacation.
Who's the new guy?
Hey, that's allowed.
I get
allowed
all this crap when I take time off. Hey, who's the new guy? What's up,
well,
man?
Well, I'm glad that we have a full-strength program firing at all cylinders today. And there's a lot going on right now to talk about. And in fact, I want to start with this because Kevin, in a very uncharacteristic moment for him, reached out to Clippers fans this week. Kevin, you want to explain what was going on in your head?
I felt bad for Clippers fans. I'm a lifelong Laker fan, just because I don't believe in curses. That's stupid. But
oh, I do.
That franchise is cursed. It just is. And I feel bad for the fans of that team because they finally had hope.
And they're not out yet.
And hope hurts.
Oh, they're out.
Oh, they're out.
They're out, all right.
Not only are they out, but even if they win this,
if
they
Kevin
play the
says
Warriors.
They're out, they're out.
Thank you,
Kevin
Jim.
Look, they're out. They're out. And the only thing worse than being a Clipper fan is getting Kevin's mock sympathy
no,
for being
it was
a Clipper
not,
fan.
It was not mock. It
Clips.
Wasn't.
Clips. Oh, yeah, it was.
It
Clips
was?
Gonna. I didn't even hear it, and I know it was.
It wasn't.
Clips. Just own it, Kevin. Clip's going to clip, right? And they're going to do it at the worst possible time. And the fact is they are out because they are headed back to Salt Lake, facing elimination, and they are in big trouble because without Blake Griffin, guys, they are outclassed and they are outmatched. And even with Blake Griffin, they're probably outclassed and outmatched. And Chris Paul is not going to get this crew on his back and bring it back for a Game 7. So what I'm saying is DOA in Salt Lake City. Dead. Yeah. Dead.
I don't know if you saw, but
see
you
next week.
Go Ducks. You certainly would have heard about it, Jim. That Sports Nation thing they did this week, where they did a Clippervention on Clippers fans, and they just, you know, they stood up and they just talked about how hard it is year after year after year to have hope and to expect this year is going to be different, and it has to be crushing for those people, right?
It's not that hard. No, it's L.A. I'm an L.A. native. I know exactly how this game is played. It's not that hard. Just go across town and become a Laker fan again. That could be even as bad as the Lakers have been. That's probably still a better thing, because you're right. I mean, how many times are you going to sit back and watch this happen? And the one thing I want to address about Blake Griffin, I'm hearing folks say, well, they get a pass because Griffin's got hurt, so it's not their fault. No, they don't get that pass because he's part of the problem, because he's always hurt. They can't count on him. And again, even if he did play, I'm not sure they beat the Jazz. So, Clipper fan, this is exactly what you signed up for. Break the thing up. It doesn't work. The pieces don't fit. Try something new.
We talked about this last week, and you said if they don't get out of this first round, they have to blow the whole thing up. You think that's
last
it?
Week? Done we talk about this every week. Yeah. Every time this comes up, I've been saying this over and over again. Listen, the silver lining here is if they don't get out of the first round, that avoids another curb stomping at the hands of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
But no, if they don't get out, you have to change up. Listen, my thing is, it's not like they've been knocking on the door or they're close. They're not about to win a ring. They've never even made it to the conference finals. They've given this thing enough time. If anything, too much time. Bust it up and try something new.
All right, last question on this. What's your grade for Doc Rivers right now, a legendary coach that we all admire and love? Is he the right guy to do this job?
I still think he is. I really do. He's catching some heat, and some people want to break this whole thing up. But given what they owe him, given that Steve Ballmer likes him, Doc's not going to be the guy to go. Somebody's got to go, but it's not going to be Doc. I'm not going to say that he hasn't made some mistakes with personnel, but I will say I don't think they can find a better guy for that team. And when heads roll, it's not going to be his. He'll be there.
Talking to our friend Jim Rome, jimrome.com on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Marshawn Lynch out of retirement. He is now a Raider. Hometown boy makes good. Your thoughts on this?
Now we're talking. Great, great tweet yesterday. He thumbed out a tweet that said it all. And I'm going to read it to you. Quote, yes, Laud. 12th man, I'm thankful, but bleep just got real. I had hella fun in Seattle, but I'm really from Oakland, though. Like, really, really, really from Oakland, though. Town business, breathe on me. End quote. I mean, the only way this guy could come back would be with a tweet like that. The town business, breathe on me, is right up there with his best catchphrase ever, right alongside, I'm just about that action, boss.
I'm just about that action, boss.
After all, what do we know about this guy? He specializes in two things, running through dudes' faces and dropping catchphrases. Right. I don't know if he can still run through dudes' faces after that year off, but after that tweet, I sure as hell know I want to find out.
And does Oakland really think he significantly is going to help his team? A guy who, you know, was in the latter part of his career with Seattle and then took that year off that you mentioned? Or is it just a big public relations thing because, hey, fans are mad at us because we're moving. At least now we've got a hometown hero they can cheer for.
Both. I mean, it's all the above. It's definitely the second thing because it's a PR play. I mean, they just stab Raider fan in the heart once again, and they've got to do something to run a little misdirection and get them to forget about it. But again, they need a running back. We're just not sure who we're getting. I mean, that violent downhill runner who used to snot bubble fools, or the 2015 version who's all busted up in a shell of himself. We really don't know what we're going to get. Listen, if this guy is locked in and he's focused and he's right physically, there's Super Bowl material. But if he's gassed and not into it, he's not going to help them win anything other than the press conference. We're not going to know until we see him on the field.
Right. Hey, I wanted to ask you, because I was out last week and maybe you covered this. The quarterback of the Raiders said that if you're not with the Raiders because they're moving to Las Vegas, you're not a Raiders fan. Was that a legitimate thing for him to say, or is he just covering his ass because he has to?
Hey, Bean, you were out last week. We covered that already.
I'm sorry. I was curious
just
what your thoughts were.
We didn't cover that already. Just kidding about that. No, look, what you have here is you have Raider fans and you have Oakland Raider fans. Raider fans who are not in the Bay Area, who didn't get punked by the team once again, are going to follow that team anywhere. But if you're an Oakland Raider fan and you've supported the team and you've been there, and by the way, the team says, we're going to Las Vegas, but before we do, we might just raise your ticket prices and you should still be loyal to us. Those Raider fans are going to be upset. So I think what Derek Carr is trying to do is say, hey, look, it doesn't matter where we are. If you're a Raider fan, you're going to follow us and support us, even if you're in the Bay. But easier for him to say because he's not the one who just got punked again.
Right. Fair enough. All right. Final topic. We have another playoff team in Southern California right now. The Ducks didn't go so well against Edmonton last night. You had Ryan Getzlaf on your show this week. He is a really impressive guy, right?
love this guy. Love this guy. And you're right. Things did not go well last night. But then again, I never said that would be easy. I never thought that Anaheim would run right through Edmonton the way they did Calgary, just as I didn't think that it would be the Ducks taking the dumb penalties or having one of the worst breakdowns defensively you'll ever see from them late in the third period. But to quote Rex Ryan, quote, here we are. Here the bleep we are.
Here we are. Here the f*** we are.
You guys love that use of sound. Man, I am so well produced. They're going to be fine. They're going to adjust. They're going to find a way to neutralize Connor McDavid and Edmonton's speed and skill, and mostly by punching somebody in the face, which is exactly what our guy Ryan Getzlaff and the fellas were doing at the end of the game last night. They were sending a message. Mm-hmm. So credit to gutty little Edmonton for coming in and ripping one of the Ducks' house, but I'm still riding with Anaheim. Everybody, all together now. Kids, say it with me. Go Ducks.
Absolutely not.
Say it, Bean.
Don't
say
be ridiculous.
I'll
say go
say
Ducks.
Say it, Chip.
I'm fine
go
with that.
Go Ducks.
Absolutely
go Ducks.
Not. Allie, I go can't hear Ducks. You. Are you not on board?
No, I'm not.
I can't hear
that.
Any of you.
I'm not saying that, ever.
Hey, Sanchez, you're allowed to come in for the first time ever. Go Ducks.
Jim
Rowe. Is that a
buzzer? Yep.
Com. Is that the Kevin and Bean buzzer? You want a buzzer? I'll give you a buzzer.
I think his buzzer beats your buzzer, Kevin. JimRome.com from 9 till noon for the live 3-hour sports
show. I'll do it again. Don't think that I won't.
And then the Daily Juggle podcast available. Played on it at iTunes. Go Ducks indeed, Jim. Great chat. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, sir.
See you next week.
Bye now.
Thursday mornings means we catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up just after 9. Stick around for that. I don't know what to make of this, Kevin, because we heard a few months ago that the government had figured out a way to use your Samsung television and listen to conversations that you have in your living room in front of your TV.
Yeah, they can spy on you.
I don't love that. I'm not super crazy about our electronics spying on us. And now it is being reported that headphones from Bose, and a lot of people have these. Kevin, you mentioned this are the headphones you travel with, right?
Yes.
The Quiet Comfort 35 headphones from Bose is one of several products listed in a lawsuit alleging that the company spies on users through their headphones.
I don't love that.
That's what I'm saying. There's a plaintiff in the case, a guy named Kyle Zach. He bought a pair of these wireless Bose headphones last month, registered the headphones, gave the company his name and email address, as well as the headphone serial number, and then found out after the fact that they were able to collect information on what he was listening to in the phones. And I feel like I mean, I guess that's what these companies are in business to do, is to try to, harvest as much information from its customers as they can so they can use it to make deals with other advertisers and sell your info and stuff like that. But I just feel like they ought to let you know ahead of time if that's what's going on.
It's worse than that, even.
What?
I don't know if you read further in the article, but apparently there's some, not only can they monitor what you are listening to, but they also can monitor what you're saying. They can turn the speakers into microphones.
This is no bueno, Ralph.
If they wanted to, they could record your interaction while you're wearing those Bose headsets, as long as they're turned on.
I'm with no bueno guy.
Now, Kevin, you have them. You wear them, right?
I do have them. Yeah.
Bean also wears
I do.
Them.
I love those headphones. They're very comfortable.
So I talked to Dave, our producer, and I said, contact the Freedom of Information Act lawyers here at K-Rock. And have them petition the government and see if we can get perhaps some of the recorded information on Kevin and Bean since they use these headphones.
That seems highly illegal.
It's not. With the Freedom of Information Act, they released it to us because, of course, we're a news organization. And so
you are a well-known journalist.
Thank you. And I was able to obtain some of the audio of Kevin and Bean wearing these Bose headphones.
I'm not comfortable with this being public, though, without my permission.
Not only can we monitor what they were listening to, but we can also monitor what they were saying while they were listening to it. For example, Kevin, as you can imagine, uses the headphones to listen to music all the time. Here's some of the audio we discovered.
Oh, love the song. Boom, dum, boom, dop, dip, top, zoom, boom, bop. I can never remember the name of this song, though. Is it Pumcop? Stum-dop. Doorstop. Doorstop.
While you're listening to whatever you're listening to, they can hear what you're saying.
That's bogus.
Kevin also uses them to listen to television.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. Oh, muy bueno. Oh, mucho, mucho gusto, muy, mucho, mucho guapo, fuego, fuego. I'm so chimichanga churro.
I don't know how that's useful information for Bose to get.
Look, and not all of it's going to be useful. Kevin sometimes listens to online videos also while he's got his headphones on.
Does he?
Thought of as a vector equation.
Mm, yes.
We have to provide a direction for the force.
No, but...
Vectors have directions.
But hypothetically, matter can have negative mass in the same sense that an electric charge can be either negative or positive.
What? Well, wow. The answer is...
Well, people rarely think in these terms. In our everyday world, you only see the positive aspects of Isaac Newton's second law of motion, in which a force is equal to the mass of an object times its acceleration, or F equals ma. In other words, if you push an object, it will accelerate in the direction you're pushing it, but mass will accelerate in the direction of the force.
What's happening here?
Listen to astrophysics lectures.
All of a sudden, I approve. Wow. I am shocked by this.
Wow.
Wait till you hear Bean, what the audio we got.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. You, Bean.
Are you serious?
Bean also listens to music, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. He listens to a ton of music while he's listening to with his Bose headphones. Every man knew as
the captain did. Oh, Gordon. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, why? Come on.
Bean, while he's listening to music, educational videos online.
I have it opens the body in an oval shape. And
finally, I love a good autopsy video.
I have it opens the thoracic shield together with the abdominal wall.
I love when they open the thoracic shield.
To my side. I will start now.
Yes.
It will take a few minutes.
Let's get inside.
And I have opened... those abdominal.
Oh, it's great work with the scalpel. I'm so glad I'm not wearing pants.
I sense a theme here. Come on.
Bean also likes to watch documentary films with the headphones, as you can imagine.
Sure.
Oh, Chuck Berry's one of my favorite artists.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's such a talent. Chuck Berry, he built rock and roll. He's... Oh, Chuck. I'm so glad I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, it got very ugly. It is maybe the most anticipated movie for the summer of 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It comes out a week from Friday, May 5th. You get to see it this Saturday at the AMC in downtown Disneyland, plus a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets as well, you guys. This is a game we like to call Praise the Lord.
Why, good morning. Would you like to win some Disneyland Resort passes and see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? Well, you can. Just come along and praise the Lord with us.
Welcome to the Church of KMB, where you can see the Guardians of the Galaxy
Volume 2.
So come and join us as we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord! Now, why is the game called Praise the Lord, Kevin?
Because Chris Pratt plays the lead character Star-Lord in the original Guardians of the Galaxy and in Volume 2. So I'm going to ask you a question, and the word Lord will be in the answer.
Because he has Lord in his name, all of these answers will also have Lord.
Right.
Got it.
Praise the Lord!
That's the name of it.
All right, who's our first contestant, please?
By the way, some games we make difficult. I feel like this one's pretty easy.
It should be, yeah.
Pretty easy, yeah.
Okay. All right. And we got two winners this time around, too.
Annie in from Reno. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
I'm ready.
The answer is going to have the word Lord in it. In this series of books and then movies, author J.R.R. Tolkien wrote about Dark Lord Sauron, who created a ring as the ultimate weapon in his campaign to conquer and rule all of Middle-earth. What's the name of the series?
Lord of the Rings.
Nice.
I mean, he did give you Lord and Ring. So, I mean, he couldn't do much more than that. Annie, hold on. You're in the drawing. Well played.
Well, way to take away her victory, Bean.
I'm just saying, when you said it was easy, you were lying.
I'm saying easy. That's okay. My point. All right. Let's go to Paul in Panorama City. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
I think this may be the easiest question that we've ever asked on our show ever.
No pressure, Paul.
One of the most popular movie franchises of all time is about a father and a son. The dad is a total dick. Here's an audio clue.
Now, what are you asking him for? The name of the movie? The name of the character?
The name of the character.
Okay.
Paul?
I thought it was easy.
Oh, just making sure you're there.
Was it easy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The character, right?
Right.
Lord Darth Vader?
Sure.
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 What's happening?
Darth Vader is called Lord Vader oftentimes.
I don't know. I thought that was easy.
In the series.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
Let's go to Aurora and Lomita. Hi.
Hi.
Aurora, that's a lovely name.
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, Bean.
I just said it was a lovely complimenting the lady on her pretty name. That's it. There's nothing creepy about that.
All right. In the TV show Gotham, this actor's character, Oswald Cobblepot, sometimes kicks ass, sometimes he's a sniveling weasel. And when his mom was alive, I'm pretty sure they were romantically involved. What is the actor's name? Involves the word Lord. Has Lord in it.
Oh, I don't know.
Robin Lord Taylor.
Okay.
What's the name of that one? Okay, sorry. All right, let's go to Chris in Santa Fe Springs. Hi, Chris.
Oh, Chris, that's a hot name.
Is it? You're doing your Bean?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you ready?
Yes, sir.
The antagonist in this extremely successful book and movie series has amazing powers and a nose that looks like he got hit in the face with a frying pan. Here's an audio clue.
I'm going to destroy you after tonight. If they speak of you, they'll speak only of how you begged for death. And I, being a merciful lord, obliged.
Dude, scary.
All right. Chris? Hello?
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, we're playing a game here. We thought you might be have something to say.
No, I said I don't know it. Sorry.
Oh.
It's Lord Voldemort. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for playing. So far, Annie and Paul are in the drawing. Let's see if we can get somebody else in there.
All right. Let's go to Natalie in Huntington Park. Hi there.
Hi.
All right. Are you ready for your clue?
I think so.
One of the Beatles, George Harrison, wrote a solo song called this. Here's an audio clue. Really want to see. That's the only part of the song that doesn't have the answer in it.
My Sweet Lord.
My Sweet Lord. Yes. Nicely done.
See, we're playing Praise the Lord, you guys.
Right? Praise the Lord! Let's go to Fernando in Montebello as our final contestant. Hi, Fernando.
How's it going? Good morning.
It's going well. Are you ready for your clue?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. It's an audio clue.
Our next guest is the biggest selling dance star ever, filling stadiums around the world. They call him the Billion Dollar Dancer.
And tonight he has choreographed a brand new routine just for us for this season's final Stars of Dance performance. Please welcome the legendary Michael Flatley.
Michael Flatley is also known as...
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Lord of the Dance.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I thought these were easy.
The Lord of the Dance, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Annie and Paul and Natalie, however, all made their way through and are in the drawing. Two of the three will win a four-pack of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of... What's happening now? Who's calling?
Someone else on the phone.
K-Rock Advanced Screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 this Saturday, plus a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. Miss Allie McKay, break a heart, but give two people some reason to be excited.
Natalie and Paul.
Natalie and Paul. Congratulations and thanks for playing the game.
Praise the Lord!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
I want to let people know, it's been a while, but Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage again at the Improv on Melrose.
No!
That is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We like to do the late show there on Friday nights, and it's a blast. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood. Then the information for Hollywood Babylon and how to get tickets is right there. Kevin Smith, wildly entertaining, rock on tour, writer, director, actor, my buddy. We talk about all things show business at the Hollywood Babylon show. We have a good time.
Jim Jefferies says no.
Jim actually is a big fan of ours and a good man.
Not here, not ever.
We did a show in Vegas at the Hard Rock, and he was playing the big room across the way. And so Smith and I were just hanging out, and there's a knock on the door, and I opened it up, and it's Jim Jefferies.
Really?
And he's like, I just heard you guys were here. I want to come over and say hello. And he's hung out and sat in the dressing room.
That's awesome.
Shot the S for 20 minutes, and they go, oh, I've got to get on stage. And he ran across and went back and did his show. So God bless Jim. He's a good man.
It is so romantic.
Speaking of tickets, how about Absinthe in L.A.?
Yay!
The wildly popular show from Vegas is making its way to Los Angeles. It's going to be down there at the L.A. Live until May the 28th. And on May 12th, they're having a special K-Rock night at Absinthe at L.A. Live. There's going to be a DJ spinning before the show by the name of DJ Omar Khan.
Is Muggs going to be on the mic?
I hope not. It's not a bar mitzvah, is it? K-Rock listeners will also get a 15% discount off their tickets if you want to go down there on May 12th by going to absinthe.com/K-Rock. Absinthe.com/K-Rock. I believe that's the correct information. It's hard to tell because usually I get a bunch of misinformation in these things. Yesterday I had two different dates I was working with, so I'm doing the best I can.
They make us guess.
If you'd like to go on K-Rock Night, which I believe now is May 12th, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with the phone number will get a pair of tickets to see Absinthe, an evening of burlesque and acrobatics and comedy. You're going to love it, so give us a call right now. I'd like to make a quick correction. About an hour ago, I told everybody how excited I was to see The Tick, which is premiering on Amazon tomorrow night, I said.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it's August 25th.
Just a little.
Which is very different. Very different from tomorrow night.
Did you say August 25th?
You heard me. August 25th.
Wow.
August 25th, it premieres on Amazon. Not tomorrow at all.
Uh-huh.
I want to thank the writers and producers of The Tick. Heard us talking about it, saying thanks for the shout out, but it actually premieres not tomorrow at all. August 25th is the actual date.
You probably put them into a panic. They were thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get it finished tonight.
From the Tick writers, they wanted to send me a little note, let me know that I was wildly, wildly off with my information. So I wanted to make that correction. Let everyone know you've got a lot more anticipation. This is good. You can build up a head of steam going into the premiere on August 25th for The Tick with Peter Serafinowicz. We should get Peter on the show to talk about that when it's...
He's very talented.
Because he is, like, a personal hero of mine.
Is that right?
I don't know how much you know about Peter. He's a huge star in the UK. Not so much here in the States, but I think that's all going to change with The Tick. But do yourself a favor and go online and just look up some of his actors' acting classes that he does, where he will do an acting class as a famous actor. You know how they do that series? They've got master class, whatever. You pay a ridiculous amount of money and you get like video lessons from people.
Right.
Steve Martin's doing one now on comedy. He's done a series of these where he does these incredibly funny impressions of Michael Caine and Al Pacino and Kevin Spacey. And they're spot on and they're just hilarious. And it's one of my favorite things online. So you can check that out.
You're an exception to this, but for the most part, if you can do a good impression, you're not funny.
And I don't do very good impressions. I do. I like to think I can
think
make them
do.
Funny.
Right.
I do like caricatures of people.
But he does
his
both.
Impressions are remarkable, uncanny, and
funny.
Hilariously funny
wow.
on top of it. And he's just a great actor. And he's got his own unique characters that he's done on television for years. And he's just terrific. Ewan McGregor is in talks with Disney to play a grown-up Christopher Robin in a movie of the same name. That name sounds familiar. It's because Christopher Robin was best friends with Winnie the Pooh there in the 100 Acre Wood until apparently he just kicked him to the curb when he grew up. That bastard.
That's bogus.
Storyline is Christopher Robin's all grown up, has lost all the wonder of imagination, and that's why Pooh has to come back into his life and help him regain the better part of himself.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Love it when Pooh comes back in your life.
Omar was out for Monday and Tuesday because of that.
That's right. Pooh came back into his life. But if Pooh's coming, he's got to bring the rest of them with him, right?
Sure, I would think
Eeyore's
so.
Eeyore's got to show up.
I would think
Owl.
So.
Who was your favorite character from that story, Kevin? Who was your favorite?
Tigger.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank
wow.
you.
Yeah.
Kevin.
That's good,
thank
Kevin.
You.
Kevin knew Tigger.
You know, they still write those books.
That's a sad sentence.
They're still making those books with the go ahead of the estate, and they've added. They have a penguin now. That's part of that crew. Penguin that lives there.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Penguin lives in the 100-acre woods along
in
with
the woods.
Yes, he does.
They love it in the woods.
Yeah, I know about penguins.
Oh, they can't get enough leaves and dust and grass. It's their favorite habitat.
I'm not sure.
I feel like we need to double check that stat.
It's true. No, it's actually okay. True. I have the book, but yeah, it's a penguin who's living there along with the
wait. Hold on,
the donkey and the tiger.
Time, right? Time out. Oh, take a 20.
What?
Did you say you have the book?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's how I know about it. It's because they have a penguin now that lives in the 100-acre wood. Yeah. We're Winnie the Pooh we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
We're just curious as to why you're reading why so much children's literature in your home.
I mean, some of it is very good.
Helps lure the kids into the van?
That's what I'm thinking. If there's a trail of Winnie the Pooh books that lead right to the ice cream cart, it makes his job so much easier, I'm sure. When he gets out the scoop. You know what I mean?
Somebody had to take over for Al Jussen.
That's right. You don't want to let all that thaw. You don't want that to melt. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley, 66 years old today. Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy's 33. Jenna Coleman's 31. And Corey Seager, Los Angeles Dodgers shortstop, celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every week about this time, we are honored to catch up with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky. He's a real doctor, I found out, by the way. All these years, we just thought he was making that up. Turns out he actually has a degree, a medical degree, you guys.
What?
Yes, you can hear him Monday through Fridays from noon till 3 on 790KABC, drdrew.com for all the podcasts and live appearances. How are you, good doctor?
I'm good. I'm trying to decide if you're going to hear my voice or a dial tone, though, today.
You're here, man. You're loud and clear. Sound
I'm
good.
Here. Just that terrible, that sort of demeaning intro, man. What is this?
I was giving you props for being a doctor.
Okay,
how
fair
is
enough.
That to be?
Fair enough.
But he just found out.
Yeah,
I didn't know until recently. I know there's a thing that we wanted to talk to you about, but I just have to ask because I'm looking at the rundowns of all of your various podcasts this week, and your Weekly Infusion podcast, which is very good, you're talking about human-pig hybrids. Is this something I need to be concerned about?
No, oh, my God. I should have thought of you when we brought this topic up.
Right.
Between this and the Edmund Fitzgerald, I should have known a chimera would be something to be into.
I don't want humans and pigs to be mating. I'm just concerned when I saw the headline.
No. We're heading towards the man-bear pig, if you watch your South Park. It's a chimera. It's a sort of a molecular biology technique that injects human genetic material and then modulates it in such a way that you grow human organs inside the pig.
Oh.
And so it's in its infancy, this whole technology, but we thought it was fascinating.
Okay, so we're okay for now. All right, let's talk about the thing, because we all were shocked and saddened by the news last weekend that Happy Days actress Erin Moran had passed away. She was only, what, Doc, like 55 maybe, 56 years old, something like that?
Yeah,
and she ended up dying of cancer. But there was a little bit of a controversy because of her former Joni Loves Chachi co-star Scott Baio came out and was the first person, and really the only person I saw, that was just coming after her before she was even buried about being a drug and alcohol abuser during her life.
Yeah, I there's a lot to sort of iron out about this story. So
yeah.
If people will permit me, let me just start with the cancer.
Please.
The husband, I think it was, we kept saying it was a skin cancer. It's not a skin cancer. It's a squamous cancer, which is something on your skin. You can get squamous skin cancers, but by the nature of how he described her cancer, it's what's called probably a head and neck cancer, like a tongue cancer, or, you know, something like Michael Douglas had, you know, pharyngeal cancer. And that actually, interestingly, is associated with HPV. And it's a chance to talk about that. And people with HPV who drink or smoke are very likely to get cancers in that area.
Wow.
And they can be really devastating. And she died of that.
I didn't know there was a connection between drug and alcohol abuse and getting cancer. I never knew that.
Well, alcohol mainly. Alcohol is a carcinogen. This is the thing that people got to remember. All this energy around the bad drugs, when in fact the one we use the most, the one that is a carcinogen to most human tissue, especially if you have some other inciting influence, such as an HPV. And in the mouth, or that's the mouth, esophagus, that's where we get this stuff now. So there's that. Then the other issue is that I'd been hearing most of her life that she'd struggle with substance abuse. Now, I don't know if there had been a late struggle with it. I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard so many rumors about her over the years in terms of her relationship with Scott Baio when they were working together and when her substance thing started and where she was sober or not sober. So there's that. So what was the contributing? How much did substance contribute to her demise? At least the alcohol did in terms of developing the cancer, I would say, just, again, based on sketching together what we have available to us. And then finally, Scott Baio's comments, he just took such tremendous heat for what was sort of a sort of an incidental comment about his frustration with drug addicts who die generally. And he wasn't really even talking about her. He just says, when you, meaning someone with addiction, you know, ruin your body and take your life, I have no patience for that. And a lot of people feel that way, even though it's a very unenlightened and naive notion about how addiction works.
But I mean, didn't he say that right after he was asked about her death?
He did, but I read it, and he said, look, I don't know if she had addiction or not, but if one, and sort of went on about this, you know, how much addiction frustrates me. And we really, literally, it's another topic to address here, is our own feelings about addicts. You know, we blame them. We think there's something morally wrong with them. They have a brain disorder, and the brain disorder affects their volition and affects their judgment. And as a result, in that state of addiction, they do some awful things. They are changed. They're not themselves, and they can get better. When they die, it's a tragedy. It's not somebody doing something to their body. The other thing that Scott sort of left out, or at least seemed naive about, is why somebody would use drugs and alcohol in the first place. And in our culture, people use a lot of things, right? But if somebody's really heading towards trying to manipulate their emotions, it's usually because they've had trauma. That's a very common sort of antecedent to drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess she had some trauma going there, too.
Well, you bring up a lot of good points here, Dr. Drew, and I guess I understand, and I'm sure you do too, the sadness you feel. Like when a guy like Prince dies or Michael Jackson dies or somebody like that who just seems so vital and so vibrant and has so much to give and so much that you're looking forward to in their future, it just seems like such a colossal and tremendous waste. You understand why people get mad that they're gone, right?
I do. I get frustrated and angry with the illness too. But I know, having so much experience with it, I know it's not that individual's fault in some sense. I'll tell you where my anger gets is towards the people who are prescribing the medication, mismanaging these people and allowing this to go on, and the enablers. I get furious with that. That's a good place to put your anger if you're frustrated with all this. And you know, get angry with the fact that we have access to all these things. But don't get the individual that falls victim to it is exactly that. I mean, they're struggling, and they die because of it. If somebody died from diabetes or emphysema or something, you wouldn't blame them for that. It's the same thing. It's just that we get so confused about this illness because it's a brain disease, and it's affected by our volition. And sometimes it sort of gets better spontaneously, and that, you know, we sort of think of it as evidence that, oh, you see, they had control over it all along. They really don't when they're in it. They don't, and sometimes it spirals out in some people, and they can't come back, and not unless you treat them very vigorously for a long time.
All right, now let me ask you this then, because this is what has been said off the air as we've had discussions here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's not important.
I'll put Ralph's name on this because Ralph is one who has said this, which is, look, even if you feel all these things that Scott Baio was feeling and your frustration with, you know, your co-star with the drugs and alcohol, the time to say it is not within 24 hours of her death. If you can't say something nice about a person who just died, just don't say anything at all. Why is that even a time to bring up drugs and alcohol addiction if somebody has just died? That's his question.
I don't disagree with that. The proximity of that comment to his sadness of her dying is what people are spiraling about. But again, I still think it's a little misplaced to be angry with him for his anger with the illness. Yeah, I agree. Bad form. But again, this is another topic that we've talked about before that this whole incident sort of brings out, which is the mob behavior in social media. So the mob goes just on the attack. And I don't know what their intent is. He has to lose a job or something before they stop. It's just wild.
I just feel like he hasn't been the same since he burned down Arnold's.
See, Happy Days reference,
Thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen. Very
Thank
well
you,
done,
everybody.
Alex.
Just trying to lighten the mood a little bit.
But the truth is there are people who are willing to jump on him just because they disagree with his politics because he's been so outspoken for the last couple of years as being so pro-Trump. I bet there were people who would have given him a pass otherwise because he's tchotchke, but now they're like, oh, I don't like that dude.
I completely agree.
I think
it feels like that's where a lot of this is coming from. There's some pent up, you know, like ready to go anger against him already. And now, he sees a bad guy.
Exactly. All right. Good stuff, as always, Dr. Drew. Catch him with our friend Mike Catherwood middays, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And lots of great podcasts over there at drdrew.com, live appearances and so much more. And don't forget, download the Heal app on the App Store or Google Play.
You.
Like Dr. Drew says, we'll talk to you again next week. So
right,
thank you.
You got it. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q-L, and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Just thinking about 24 hours ago, from right now, we had this.
Quitters never give up.
I mean, that was where, like a day ago is when that happened.
Something's happening. I know you, Kevin denies it, but something's happening. I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's possible.
But something's going on.
What do you mean, Ralph?
The past week or so has been extra magic. It's the difference between... I don't even know how to say it. It's
a thing and a different thing?
No, it's sort of like when you're outside in the parking lot of Disneyland and you're anticipating what it's going to be like. And then it's stepping through the gates and looking around and seeing Main Street and the magical feeling that comes over you. You just sense it. That's the difference between Kevin, normally with Kevin, you know he's going to screw up, and you kind of get the sense, oh, there's going to be some moments within our future. But then when you walk through the gates of Kevinland, and it's all happening, and the music's playing, and the electrical parade's happening, and you're on the rides, it takes on a whole new energy.
Yeah.
And this past week, I feel like I've been right there in Kevinland.
Yeah. Oh,
Kevin 2.0 is getting it done.
Right?
Yeah. It's been a lot of churros.
Quitters
too.
Never give up.
Nope.
Quitters never give up.
That's the Matterhorn of Kevinland.
Right?
That's Space Mountain of Kevinland.
Well, we have listeners who are demanding T-shirts. We have listeners who are getting tattoos. Listeners who say it's their new life mantra. I mean, it was a very powerful message you had yesterday. It's like hearing from the Dalai Lama all of a sudden. You feel like you really got something.
Being yelled at me immediately. That's all they do!
Well, it's so true.
Just like to reflect back on what a magical day yesterday was, and the reverberations continue. All right, time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph.
I want to give people a reminder, tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I once again are teaming up to make you chuckle. Hopefully we're doing our show Hollywood Babylon on stage at the Improv on Melrose there in Hollywood. We have a pretty great time. We'd like to have you join us 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
I cannot even.
We're talking a lot of fun stuff like pineapple.
Yes.
Pen, pineapple. We do that. But also SpongeBob SquarePants. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's right, Kevin. Mm-hmm. The characters of SpongeBob SquarePants are going to be part of an undersea attraction and resort that Nickelodeon plans to open on an island in the Philippines. How exciting. If nautical nonsense be something you wish, this will be there. Now, not everyone's happy about it.
Oh.
Environmentalists, apparently, are trying to ruin everyone's fun like they always do by saying the underwater attraction will cause destruction of the corals. Who needs coral? Right?
I don't think that's what we're saying.
We need SpongeBob under the sea. Now, a petition has begun, sprouted up to stop the underwater theme park. That has garnered almost 200,000 signatures there in the Philippines. But the marketing and communications director of Coral World Park, and if you can't trust a marketing person, who can you trust?
Right?
Says that it isn't going to be a theme park at all. The director of Coral World Park said it's not going to be a theme park. We should change the name, maybe, of your corporation. Our plans are to build a resort, an attraction, which we're designing an undersea attraction as part of it with ocean conservation. The builder, Coral World Park Undersea Resorts, also said, it's not even going to be underwater. Said, once again, the builder of Coral World Park Undersea Resorts, said it's not going to be underwater. It's going to be one facility floating on the water. So the stories are starting to rapidly change as pressure mounts maybe to them not building this. To which I say, F coral, right? I've said it my whole life.
I've never heard you say that.
Let's build, and let's get some Krabby Patties. Love me some SpongeBob. Sixth Sense director M. Night Shyamalan has announced his sequel to the movie Split. It's going to be a sequel to two movies, actually, Split and Unbreakable. Their sequels will be combined into one movie. He unveiled the news yesterday on his Twitter account, saying the new film called Glass will star James McAvoy, the star of Split, but also reunite Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson, stars of Unbreakable. So I'm guessing judging by the name, Samuel L. Jackson is going to play a large role in this film. Those were his last two hits, by the way. Unbreakable made $250 million at the box office. Split made $275 million.
Wow.
Wow.
So if you put those together, real quick math, should be $525 million the sequel should make.
I don't see how it could miss.
Because you're combining those two grosses.
Kevin, did you see Split?
I did not.
I heard very good things about it.
Yeah, I wanted to, just didn't have time. Mm. Very busy. I'm a very busy person.
Two behind?
Doing what exactly?
A lot of stuff. Places to go, people to meet.
You saw The Fate of the Furious twice.
I did, yeah.
So apparently not that busy. You got some time, apparently, to spare.
Occasionally, yeah.
Sorry to hear about Doris Roberts.
Yeah. Well, Muggs was really broken up yesterday.
She passed. Yeah, yesterday, Beer Mug was just going off with how sad he was hearing at the passing of Doris Roberts. And it turns out he wasn't alone. It was a huge trend on social media yesterday.
Is that
this
right?
This was the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond. That's what we're talking about, right?
Doris Roberts.
Thank you.
What are you thanking? That other people are dumbasses, too?
Well, it wasn't only me.
All right, get back out.
Huge trend on social media yesterday. Hundreds of fans sending out virtual condolences on Twitter and Facebook at her passing. Here's the thing no one can quite understand. She passed away more than a year ago on April 17th, 2016. So it wasn't even like yesterday was exactly the 1 year anniversary, so people just got confused and got the year wrong.
Huh.
It was April 17th. It wasn't even April 24th. No one quite understands why it took on such legs yesterday, but everyone was in some way touched by Doris Roberts' death over a year ago.
We were talking about stuff during the show, and Muggs almost collapsed on the floor.
He was like, oh, Doris Roberts is dead.
That's such a bummer.
Oh, it's so sad.
We're like, what?
She's the best.
And we're like, again?
We're like, she died some time ago, Beer Muggs.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. Yeah, this is a mess.
Everybody loved Doris, so I get it.
And lastly, I cannot wait to talk to Virginia Grohl.
Yes, she's coming in next week, right?
Coming in next week. Virginia is the mom of a guy that we like to call Dave Grohl around here.
She is a dick.
He is not, Kevin. He's a good guy. She has written a new book called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. And she interviews the moms of Miranda Lambert, Dr. Dre, Amy Winehouse, Pharrell, Tom Morello.
Interesting.
Got stories from all these moms about what it was like to raise a kid. And she was on the Stephen Colbert show last night with Dave. They came on together. And Dave was obviously very proud of his mom. And he thinks she's pretty cool. Here's a little piece.
Ooh, actually bring your mom to a lot of fun places.
Oh, man, she's been on tour more than most rock moms I know. She's perfectly comfortable on the road, though. You know, I give her a laminate and play a gig and come back to the dressing room and she's having a beer with Green Day, you know.
Who was that? Victoria pulled out Dave's old elementary school report card, his sixth grade report card, to embarrass him. And they went over the poor marks he received in categories like respects authority, did not do well there, accepts responsibility, also not high marks, not high grades. And Dave defended himself by saying, you know, I got to be honest, I was kicking ass up until first grade, and then it was all downhill from there. So, looking forward to talking to her today.
That's going to be so much fun. By the way, I think it was pre-Ralph Garman, we did a Mother's Day. Do you remember this, Kevin? We did a Mother's Day Kevin and Bean show where we took the same approach that Virginia did in her book where we had on moms of famous people. And we had Steven Spielberg's mom on that day. We had Dave Gahan's mom on that day and a whole bunch of them. And it's so interesting to hear the stories of those kids that ended up becoming something that you know and love.
So she stole your idea. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
She owes you because you guys are great and she's nothing. She's just copying you.
We're going to demand payment when she comes in.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm saying
it's a good way to diminish her achievement, I think, by talking about your old achievement.
It's a great idea.
It's a good way to diminish her, I think.
No, not at all.
Try to prop yourself up by climbing on her back to make yourself look better and her look worse.
I'm delighted that she's written this book because I think it's a fascinating topic.
I can tell you're delighted for her success by talking about your success.
Well, I mean, she stole it from us.
I know. Back when you guys would do things and care, you really would just walk all over a poor old lady like Victoria, Veronica, Vanessa, Virginia Grohl.
There you go.
That's how she goes. Her friends call her that.
Quitters never give up.
Right?
Never forget that.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ace freely. Space Ace, he was known back in the day when he played with Kiss. He's 66 years old today. Fall Out Boy single Pat... Nope. Singer. Not single. Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump is 33 years old. Actress Jenna Coleman's 31. And Corey Seager. He's a shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Yella Van Damme, the captain of the L.A. Galaxy, joins us. We have the Movie Beat because it's Friday. We've got your tickets for Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And Saturday is the 25th anniversary of the riots in 1992, and we've got some documentarians coming in that have made a documentary movie about those riots, and that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.